Just to bring to you again this book that we're using in our home groups. It's called The Good Living Guide. This is on the Beatitudes. And just to encourage you to come along on Thursday evenings, 8 o'clock. We're meeting in Eric Good's house this coming Thursday again. And the venue might change a bit as the summer goes on, but we'll announce it. And this is The Good Living Guide. And we're actually out of the books at the moment, but hopefully we'll have them by Thursday, would we? We'll try anyway. It's our book person. So yeah, these are the books, and we're going to follow them through on Thursdays as we work through the Beatitudes following the sermon on the previous Sunday. So this morning we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we find the Beatitudes. Matthew 5. And we're going to start actually a few verses previous in Matthew 4. I have to get out the guys here. Matthew 4 and verse 23, we're going to start from. Just a few verses before, just to bring in context. Matthew 4, 23, down to 5, verse 12. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And we'll leave a reading there at verse 12. And today, John Mark introduced our theme of the Beatitudes last Sunday, and this Sunday we're concentrating on Beatitude number 1, which is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I'd like us to look at that first phrase and then at the phrase, the kingdom of heaven first, and then do the second half, then the blessed are the poor in spirit in a little while, just to mix it around. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? What kingdom is Jesus referring to? In Matthew 4, verse 23, where we started our reading, this morning Matthew writes, Jesus went through Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. John the Baptist, back in Matthew chapter 3 verse 2, proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And Jesus repeated those words again in Matthew 4:17. From that time on, that was from the time John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The King Jesus had come, and so therefore his kingdom is about to appear. Jesus is the sovereign, and we as believers are the subjects, members of that kingdom. The Sermon of the Mount, as these three chapters, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew are called, deal with this theme, the kingdom of God. It's like the Sermon of the Mount saying, this is what it means to repent and to belong to the kingdom of heaven. These are the qualities of those who belong to that kingdom. But what is this kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is the same as the kingdom of God. It is the reign or the rule of God. Matthew was writing primarily with Jewish people in mind, and Jews were very careful. They had this thing about mentioning Yahweh, our God. And they didn't do it very often, and they kept it very very seldom. So that's probably why Matthew refers to the kingdom of heaven rather than the kingdom of God, because he's writing to Jewish believers, Jewish people. Jesus was saying that the reign of God promised in the Old Testament by the prophets had arrived. Isaiah 52 verse 7 speaks, "Your God reigns." And Micah 4 verse 7 we read, "The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever." Jesus was teaching that the reign of God promised in the Old Testament had arrived. In Daniel 7 we read, "Prophecy of the Son of Man who would come as a universal judge, not just over God's people Israel, but over all mankind." We read, "He is given authority, glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and will never pass away. And his kingdom is one that never will be destroyed." Someone has referred to the Sermon on the Mount as the manifesto of God's kingdom. In this sermon, Jesus spells out the attitudes that are to shape us as Christians. Note, these attitudes don't make us Christians, they shape us as Christians. These Beatitudes are our hallmark, what we should look like. The Beatitudes are not intended to be a set of rules and regulations by which we measure ourselves and others to see if we are good enough to be in the kingdom. No, but it's those who have been brought into God's kingdom, a call to our hearts and minds to be shaped by the reality of who we are as Christians. With Jesus as King and believers as subjects, displaying these attributes and attitudes that are blessed. Not blessed in the world's eyes, but blessed in God's eyes. A kingdom is a place where a sovereign rules. The kingdom of heaven is where Jesus rules, where he is king. How do we enter this kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God? Well, both John the Baptist and Jesus in Matthew 3 and Matthew 4 use that word repent. This is the starting point. We need to repent as we acknowledge our sinfulness to God. Repenting and turning away from our sin and putting our faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If Jesus is your King, then you are in the kingdom of heaven. Are you a part of the kingdom of heaven as you sit here this morning? Is Jesus your King this morning? It means not living by what the world values, but living by what God values. We can't do this by our own efforts. We need to come to the King and ask, can we be his subject? Jesus has died for us. He's taken our place, the punishment for your sin and for mine. Only he could unlock the door of heaven and let us in, as the song puts it. I trust right here and now that you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus has this way of turning things upside down. He turns things on their heads. As we look at the first of the eight Beatitudes, here in verse 3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit, surely he should say, the rich in spirit. Yet Jesus says the complete opposite to what we would think. What can everyone have? Not everyone can be rich, but we can all be poor. Everyone can start here. Everyone can be poor in spirit. Charles Spurgeon said it well. He said, "Not what I have, but what I have not is the first point of contact between my soul and God. Not what I have, but what I have not is the first point of contact between my soul and God." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Looking back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 57:15 says, "For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Isaiah continues in chapter 61, verse 1, "The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." The poor, not the rich. Isaiah also writes at the end of his book in chapter 66, verse 2, "This is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. God's kingdom is made up of those who acknowledge that they have absolutely nothing to offer to God. Back in the day of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came into this world as a man, Isaiah writes of God living with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. God relates to those who are humble and repentant. They are the ones he looks for. This is the message throughout the Old Testament. God's people, the nation Israel, were often referred to as the poor, or as the poor of the Lord. This being poor often meant came in the form of oppression. They were slaves in Egypt. They wandered around in the wilderness as a nation for 40 years. They were exiles in Babylon. But when the Lord appeared to Solomon at the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will what? Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So what is being poor in spirit? It is not economic poverty or material poverty. Poor in spirit is the personal realization of spiritual bankruptcy. We have no spiritual assets. We're broke. It's our confession in our heart and soul of our unworthiness before a holy God. We don't possess it in ourselves, on the inside. It must come from without. This is from God. It is the work of God in us. Remember the tax collector in the temple. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Yet the Pharisee in the same story had no humility. Nothing at all. He was full of himself and looked down on the tax collector. He didn't even get a chance to ask for forgiveness. That wasn't in his vocabulary. Jesus follows that by saying, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We have nothing to offer God. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags in his sight, Isaiah writes. We are sinful and rebellious and totally without any goodness that would draw us to God. We have no resources within ourselves to offer God. We have no way of saving ourselves. We needed God to make that first move. And praise God, he did. God demonstrates his love for us. In this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Paul reminds us in Romans 5 verse 8. We need to empty ourselves of any self-righteousness, moral self-esteem, any vain glory. Spiritually bankrupt and without hope was our state without the grace and mercy of God. A genuine poverty of spirit is what God seeks. The poor in spirit requires genuineness and depth of repentance so that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lose all, including yourself and your self-centeredness, and become poor in spirit. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Being poor in spirit is more than just knowing we can't save ourselves. It is also knowing that we have been saved. We can't live the Christian life in our own strength. To be poor in spirit means total dependence on God. More from trying to depend on self. Move from trying to depend on self, which will get us nowhere, to depending totally on God. The Lord Jesus, when he walked this earth, he showed us perfectly what being poor in spirit was like. He was tempted by Satan and used God's word to answer each of the devil's taunts. This was a model to us. We need to read and heed God's word. The Bible says, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you," in Psalm 119, verse 11. Look at Jesus' prayer life. Yet another example from the Son of God that we each need to be much in prayer and totally dependent on God for help and strength. This is being poor in spirit, not haughty or proud and saying, "Hey, I can do it by myself." It's leaning and depending on the Lord. Why would we want to be poor in spirit? Well, Jesus tells us right here in verse 3, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." God's kingdom belongs to such people as these. The door of heaven is open to all. We don't need to be rich, we don't need to be famous, or powerful, or beautiful, or clever. No, we need to become poor in spirit. Trade in our filthy robes of righteousness for the clean white robe of righteousness that the Lord Jesus offers to all who put their faith and trust in him. As a Christian, a follower of Jesus, we are citizens of this heavenly kingdom, God's kingdom, right here and now, even while we remain here in this world. He is our Father, and we are his children. But the best is yet to come, when we get to enjoy the blessings of God forever in the kingdom of heaven. This is only an appetizer here and now. But for now, we are to be totally dependent on God. Just as we are totally dependent on him for salvation, so we need to be totally dependent on him to be poor in spirit each step of the way as we live out the Christian life and as we look forward to eternity with the Lord. As the hymn puts it, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. With the Beatitudes, it's not I, but Christ in me. My hope is only Jesus. In summary, the message of the Sermon on the Mount is, this is what it means to repent and to belong to the kingdom of God. Jesus is King in God's kingdom. Where he reigns, there the kingdom of heaven is present. Not just in the future, but here and now too. The entire gospel centers on Jesus, who he is, what he says, what he does. The Beatitudes and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount needs to be understood with this in mind. Living out the Beatitudes can never be divorced from having a right relationship with the Lord Jesus. The person who preached the sermon on that mount is someone each of us can come to know personally as our Lord and Savior. These teachings will change the way we live our lives only if we submit to the sovereign and gracious reign of the one who preaches it. For the Sermon of the Mount is the teaching and lordship of Jesus himself. Those who are poor in spirit are those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, those who trust in Jesus, those who have received him as their Lord and Savior, and therefore belong to the kingdom of God, with the Lord Jesus as their King. As we live in the world as Christians, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. The world is not our home. As John Blanchard puts it, we are here to go. But in the meantime, we live here and now, as Jesus teaches us to, by a lifestyle of the kingdom of heaven in a fallen world. Yet not I, but Christ in me. We are servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, work your word into our hearts here today, that we may go after what you are calling us and enabling us through your Holy Spirit to do, to be poor in spirit, recognizing it is all of you and nothing of us. Thank you for your presence and that you dwell in the poor in spirit, and for that great reward that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yet not I, but Christ in me. May this be our prayer today. We ask these things as your subjects in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.